the Halloween Koshcast, and we can't decide which is scarier, Sean Dyche's voice or David Moyes' very public descent into madness. We start, as ever, in the Premier League, where Chelsea do what minivans have never been able to and make five in the back seem cool. Liverpool smash down the Palace gates, Aguero gets a brace, and Ibrahimovic shares more with Austin Powers than his goofy looks, as he appears to have totally lost his mojo. Elsewhere, we take this opportunity to look back at and ahead to the Champions League, where Manchester City face Barca again, but this time have the disadvantage of playing at the Etihad. We'll round off with a Toronto FC playoff update, and as always, the quiz and Moomoo of the Week guarantee some lols. As Calvin Harris featuring Neo says, let's go. Hello and welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex and there are just so many people here, it's like a Trump rally. Bernie, how are you?
I enjoyed that a lot. I am great, thank you, Alex.
It's good to see you, man. It feels like you'd not been here for a long time.
Well, I missed 1 week.
Well, yeah. But that's how much we miss you. It just feels like forever. Ruchet, how are you?
Doing well.
Mainstay. A solid presence throughout.
Quite.
Like
consistent.
The fullback you are.
Yeah, yeah. Just like Gary Neville or yeah. Danny Alves.
Danny Alves.
Patrice Evra.
Okay.
He's been around for 20 years.
That's true. But he's funnier on social media than you are. Mohamed.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I just gotta bring the seat down.
Yeah, please. Get on our level.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you. So everyone's a bit excited. Who wants to tell the dear listener why? What's happening on Wednesday?
We have...
I'll do it.
Okay. All right. We have a UTC, under the cosh, quiz night, trivia night, at King and Sherbourne, downtown Toronto, if anyone wants to fly in from across the world.
Yeah. Not on the street corner, but like at Betty's.
That's right. It's a pub. It's a very nice establishment called Betty's, and we are going to be in the upstairs room. We'll have it to ourselves, and it starts at 7 p.m.
Yep, goes till 9 o'clock. We've got questions. We've got the team sorted out. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Obviously, the theme is Harry Potter. Like, that's all what all the questions are going to be.
That
about.
Is not true.
No? Because no one mentioned what it
get
would
be. Get the fact
about.
Checkers.
No. We're not doing Harry Potter.
I wrote all my questions like, what year was Hogwarts made? What year this, that?
I think you're missing Halloween with that.
Is Mohamed
today
on
is
the wrong
Halloween.
Podcast?
Yeah.
But we are sponsored by Open Sports.
Yes.
For the
we
quiz
are.
Night. Mm. So our theme is sports and soccer.
Absolutely. Open Sports is the app that allows you to find and join games of football and all other sports in Toronto. Download it because it's brilliant.
It is actually.
And now let's do a prelude to the main quiz on Wednesday night and do a little quiz here.
All right. This week's quiz is the Sergio Busquiz.
Yeah.
Nice. Keeps things ticking along.
Yeah. Alex, remind us of your buzzin'. Very creative. Bernie. Richey.
That was easy.
Well done. All right, here we go. Question number one. What is the most successful league in the world in terms of having the most clubs holding the FIFA Club World Cup title?
That was easy.
Richey.
La Liga.
No. Bernie.
A Premier League.
Nope. Alex.
Brazilian.
Correct. League. Brazilian with four, because the champions are...
Get in!
Well done. Ooh.
Santos.
Yes.
Vasco, Corinthians.
Next.
Flamengo.
How many Premier League titles have been won by an English manager? Bernie.
The answer is one.
Wrong. Alex.
None.
Correct.
Ooh, don't push you Scottish!
Next. Who is the only player to score against Oliver Kahn in the 2002 World Cup?
That was easy.
Richey?
Ronaldo.
Wrong. Other than Ronaldo.
Wow. Ooh.
Oh dear. Other than Ronaldo?
Yes. Only one other player. Bernie.
Hassan Sass?
No. Anybody?
Is he on the right track with that?
No.
Is there a multiple choice?
I mean,
no,
I can tell you who the
first.
Manager is.
Alex has to answer first.
I have to guess?
Yeah.
Did Ronaldo score both in the final?
Yes.
Yes. It's not Brazilian.
I don't even
okay,
remember.
Okay, it's fine. I'll give you. So they only lost to Brazil and then they drew to this team and beat everyone else.
Okay.
And the manager was Mick McCarthy.
Robbie Keane.
Yes.
Ha!
Correct.
Oh, wow, the final third lads would love that.
Wow.
All right, here's a weird question.
Guys, you want to get something right at some point?
you're trash talking. Okay. Whoa. Okay.
All right, here's a weird one. There are 9 leagues in the world that contain teams from other nations. For example, Swansea in the English Premier League. Name as many as you can. Alex.
That was easy.
Liga.
Yes, Monaco. Anyone else can come in at any time.
Bundesliga.
Nope.
Bernie. Sorry, I just did the MLS.
Yes. That's 2.
Are we just talking top divisions?
Anything.
NASL.
No.
Does La Liga count because of the last country?
No.
To be fair, he said NASL. You did say anything.
Sure, but no.
Wow.
Yeah.
One of the Italian divisions.
Yes.
San Marino.
Serie C has San Marino in it. Okay.
Like the whole country.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wow. I imagine that team is just made up of the little gods.
That's
around
3.
The Vatican.
Yeah.
2 that you won't get are Malaysia and Singapore. They both have teams from other Asian nations.
I should have known that.
There's also one that you won't get, which is Scotland, has a team called Berwick Rangers.
Are they on the border?
And the border changed at some point, and they became on the England side, but they remained in the Scottish
this
league.
Is horrible.
There's a few that are... Switzerland have a Liechtenstein team.
Okay.
Ireland have a Northern Ireland team. And Australia have a New Zealand team.
Okay, I got one, Al's got 2.
Yeah.
So that's all that matters.
Not bad. Yeah. Alright, here's one that you also won't get.
Shape, please get a point.
I'll try.
Here's a bonus that, you know, I don't think any of you will get because there's no multiple choice. And it's very hard, but it's just more of a kind of a fact.
This has turned into a lesson.
Mourinho's father was a goalkeeper in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
He's only one of 3 goalkeepers to ever achieve a certain feat. I mean, you won't get it.
One of 3 goalkeepers.
To ever achieve a certain feat. Okay, I'll make it a bit easier.
Sorry, hold on. One of 3 goalkeepers in Portugal or ever?
Ever to achieve a certain feat. Alex.
Giving birth to a massive dickhead.
No! I'm sure a lot more people have done that. Alright.
To have been sent off 3 times in a row.
No. Well, that's creative. It's related to Eusebio.
Saved a penalty from Eusebio?
Correct!
Oh, wow!
Clean sweep, boys.
That was easy.
Alright, as Alex promised in the intro, we will start with the Premier League. I don't think that has changed in 4 seasons.
No.
Yep.
Why break a winning habit?
I think we did do it once.
Well, Richey last pod suggested we start with the Eredivisie.
That was not a serious suggestion.
He wasn't fined 2 weeks' wages?
Yeah, well, that's actually has to, yeah.
Locker room bets, you know? Yeah. Locker room bets.
Oh, not a good time to bring
that
up.
You don't get
fined. Oh, okay, don't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no locker room bets here.
Actually, if the Eredivisie is as bad as our locker room bets gets, we're doing just fine.
Yeah.
It'll be probably fine.
Or as bad as the players they've been producing recently. Anyways,
true.
Chelsea did beat Southampton 2-0. Why does Southampton have like a Dutch feel to it? Is it because of Koeman last season and then Van Dijk and stuff?
I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah, I feel
like Koeman, Van Dijk, Jordi Klaassen.
Yeah, I felt a little bit. Anyways, so Chelsea performed admirably.
Mm.
They played back to their 3-4-3, 5-4-1. I keep thinking, what is it? And Chelsea fans on Twitter refer to it as a 3-4-3, so I just go with that.
Yeah, it's not, though.
Yeah, I don't know. They always love saying it's a 3-4-3.
It's a 5-3-2.
I guess 5-3-2 sounds defensive.
Not even, though, because they only have Costa up front. It's like without the ball, it is straight 5-4-1.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they break with Costa and Hazard and Pedro, and then it changes. But
they are very strong in the back. They have a couple of clean sheets now at home.
4 in a row.
4 in a row. Yeah.
Well, I mean that's what you get with playing a 5-4-1. And I think I was talking to Alex the other day, and I said I think Conte is really smart in the sense that instead of he doesn't have the best kind of 11 in the league, and instead of moaning about it, he just makes it work.
Like someone.
Yeah. So the 3-4-3 or the 5-4-1 really suits a few players. Cahill suits him a lot. He plays in a back 3. He's much more...
And to be fair, earlier in the season, I personally had gone on a rampage against Cahill, against David Luiz.
Yeah, but they look better in a 3.
But deservedly so, though.
Yes.
Marcus Alonso looks really good in that formation. Victor Moses and even Matic. But he's good anyway. These 4 that I mentioned are just, they're a bit average in terms of like playing in a, let's say, a straight 4-4-2 or a 4-3-3. And I think it's really helping them.
But the other thing is, and not only does it help them positionally, and referring to the individuals, but Conte has basically said, we don't really want the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They're absolutely happy to sit off, take the ball when they can, and counterattack. And that really suits players like Matic and Conte, who aren't that good on the ball. And, you know, Fabregas is out the team.
Which is why he's out the team.
Exactly. And they don't really have players beyond him that take care of it and protect it and pass it around well. So this is great. They just knock it forward, attack at pace, and then sit back
again. He's not pretending to play a certain way. You know, he's doing the best he can with what he's got. And I think certain managers, they feel pressure and then they want to act like, oh, we're going to play some flamboyant football. No, just do what you know and what you can do with the players. That's it.
It's what's best for his team, for his players. And I think he's getting the best out of Costa. Costa's having an unbelievable season. He looks so good. Forget the stats. The stats, he's top scorer of the league. But forget that. He's also, he looks really good over 90 minutes. He dribbles really well this season with the ball. It looks like he's a bit faster. He has that kind of spring in his step. Hazard as well is on great form. He's already equaled last season's goal tally.
Well, no, but
all of these are true, but we also have to keep in mind that Chelsea do not have a European competition to play for in midweek. So they are just that 10% fresher every week.
I'd say more, No, I agree.
They are fresher, but I still don't think, even with someone like Hazard, I still have the issue of he's doing good. But there's a level that he should be at.
Yeah.
And even with that rest, I expect a lot more from Eden Hazard. And I think probably that is to come. And we'll see how that goes over the course of the next couple weeks.
It's hard not to pick Hazard for fantasy at this point. He is getting assists and goals.
No, that's true. And also, he is given slightly, I mean, not 100%, but he has some freedom within the team to kind of do his thing behind Costa, get in those like open pockets. Sometimes you see him on the left, sometimes you see him under Costa. So he has that freedom from Conte.
Yeah, and the formation helps that too with the free. I mean, Bernie, you were saying that Hazard has another level to go to. I have to be honest, I'm not convinced. He's clearly a very, very good player, but I'm not sure where else he goes and how much better he's.
I think
really
there's a lot of hype about Hazard, and people really kind of hype him, true or not true, whatever, deserved or not. But like, I think that affects and influences our opinion on where Hazard should be.
Yeah,
we have it on record. That Hazard behind, you know, Ronaldo, Messi, Aguero, and stuff. He's up there in the top five best players in the world.
Who said that?
We did a couple of seasons ago.
Two seasons ago, player of the season.
But
fine,
the thing is, even when he was player of the season, I remember us sitting here and saying that it was a little bit uninspired.
Yeah.
But I remember the season before, I thought he was a better player than when he won, because he was more flamboyant. He could do more crazy things with the ball. He last couple seasons, he's been a little bit more restricted, and that's what I mean. I mean, someone that will just take over things, he is so capable of it, but he's not producing it. I think he probably has no level, but maybe his recent expiry date. I don't know.
maybe it's a bit early for that, but I don't know. We'll see. It will be interesting. But two things I wanted to say more broadly. One is Southampton didn't really do a lot wrong here. They actually played really well. They dominated possession. They had a few decent chances. Charlie Austin probably feels he should have scored one or two.
They've also been playing well all season. It's not just this game.
He has been great.
For sure. Honest.
Oh, we didn't mention, before the big pictures of Costa's goal.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Outside of the box, like 5-6 yards away from the 18-yard line. And Alex, you tweeted, that had to be perfect to get past, 10-foot Forrester. It was fantastic.
It's absolute confidence. Confidence. Oh, my God.
Those are the most beautiful kinds of goals. The curler
into
the
side
post.
So I thought your beautiful type of goal was a carpet.
There was a carpet this weekend, but it was in another league. It was Bonaventura for AC Milan.
International carpet.
Which is a carpet merchant.
He is a carpet merchant. I have a question for you. So Chelsea are now playing this kind of defensive counter-attacking 5-4-1 thing. What happens if they go behind in a game? And for you, how would you go about attacking this team?
Right.
Go about attacking Chelsea?
Yeah.
You literally cannot do anything but go after them. Like, high press, go after them, score first, and they will not come back. If it's a better team, if it's a City, if it's an Arsenal, if it's Liverpool, Tottenham, they will not come back from that. I don't think Chelsea are that good enough to do that.
Up front, I mean, it's a tough question. Like, how do you counter Chelsea's play? Well, yes, they can score first, because then they're comfortable. Then here we go, we're good, because we're 5 at the back. Anyways, and we scored, okay. So if you're going up against them, I think the problem is the wing backs cause you so much trouble. If you're playing a 4-3-3 where your right and left back are really, they can't go venture too far forward. Can you imagine Bellerin bombing forward and then you've got Alonso behind them? Yeah.
Well, that's literally what happened. That's what I'm saying. There literally is what you're talking about potentially happening is exactly what happened and caused them to look like absolute trash.
Yeah.
I think Chelsea right now have been infused with this energy from Conte. And they are very, very sharp. And the only way to kind of break them down is to try to match their energy and maybe beat their energy as well. You have to be extremely disciplined, whatever you do. No matter what tactic you play, you look good no matter what tactic you put out, as long as you succeed. So it just depends if you can match that energy.
Do you remember that game where, I think it was Alex Ferguson, and he was playing Arsenal, and he put Rooney on Arteta all game long.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you stop the ball getting to the Matic and Kante, it's very hard for them to move forward as well, because they don't have that kind of third number 10 guy. They don't, right? It's more like of a flat line.
Sure.
I think put pressure on Kante and Matic, make them play long balls, and just kind of...
I see what you're trying to say, but I think tactically we're talking about two different things, because Kante covers so much ground, right? Arteta, not that much.
Sure.
When Ferguson did the same thing with Phil Jones on Xabi Alonso, those guys are a bit static, right? Like, Kante is a... he's a tactical nightmare, because you can't find him. It's just, it's so
weird.
But
he finds you.
And Conte, the manager, couldn't find him. He didn't know who he was. He actually came out and said, I did not know who Conte was.
Well, no one did a year ago, to be honest.
Yeah. But to your point, Bernie, like, if you, let's say you do what you say, Mohamed, and put someone on those two central midfielders, they've got three centre-backs.
Mm.
And so one of them will always be unmarked. Ideally, in the system, it's David Luiz, who then strolls forward.
Yes,
you know,
he
does. He's got a ping on him. So, yeah,
but if he strolls forward, he leaves a gap. And that's where you can expose.
You have to look at Conte's old Juventus teams and kind of see if there was a missing link over there. And there wasn't, because that Juventus team was very, very strong.
So we're all screwed.
I think the conclusion is nothing. You just score first somehow and that's it.
Yeah. Well, the reason I ask is because it took so long for people to adapt to Leicester last season when they did a similar thing, defensive and then counter. And just people kind of ignored it and said, all right, let's just attack them all year.
And it didn't work.
So I'm just wondering what will happen with
Chelsea. I do think that they are a good team, but I think we may be giving them a little bit too much credit compared to the teams that are better than them. And there are probably four better than them, right?
Well, so the next one is arguably better than them.
Yep, so Liverpool beat Crystal Palace 4-2 away. No repeat of Istanbul.
No.
So, I mean, it looked like it, to be honest.
They came close.
Of course, it was an extremely high-scoring game involving Liverpool once again.
Yeah, concede a lot, but score more. Like, that seems to be their thing. And to be fair, going forward, they look probably one of the most, if not the most exciting team currently in the league, just going forward. They look so good with starts on the bench.
Yeah.
Firmino up top. And then you've got the Coutinho, Mane. Even Henderson's playing well for Liverpool. I know England, blah, blah, blah. But for Liverpool, he looks good. And they look exciting to watch. And it's great for them. And as we said, they can see that's their problem. If they can get Lovren to understand football,
he'll
be fine.
He did score in this game. But one thing about Liverpool is, and we know they work very hard. They have, you know, the most kilometers run per player every match. We talked about energy with Chelsea. But Liverpool are also tied for the most goals scored in all offenses in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they are tied for points on top. So,
they're looking good.
No surprise.
Yeah, and in this game, so when they played United, Emre Can came in because Wijnaldum was out, and everyone kind of thought he disrupted the rhythm somewhat. But in this game, he came in, there was no disruption, he even scored, and they looked just fine with Wijnaldum on the bench. So that was encouraging for Liverpool to see that they can do it in a number of ways.
Yeah, Chan was just having a bad game against United, I think.
He's been having a bad couple games before that. Chan is another one that confuses me. But because he has the potential, but he's just been absolutely rubbish and he had a good game. But Crystal Palace, perfect game for Liverpool, in my opinion, because Alan Pardew does not really understand how to park a bus. Like, he will try it every now and then, but I think deep down in his soul, he thinks that he's a bit like Aladici, you know?
Yeah,
like,
his pride gets
Guardiola.
In the way.
Exactly. So he wants to play a little bit, and he's going to get battered against better teams a lot.
To be fair, I think at 2-2, maybe he should have thought, all right, like, we played a little bit, we had our fun, there's four goals, McCarthy scored two, never going to happen again in our lifetime, so how about we just take the point?
But, don't you guys know that famous Alan Pardew quote?
It's Which
better
one?
To die on your... but die on your feet than live a lifetime on your knees.
Wow.
Alan Pardew.
Wow. He actually came out recently talking about how he only wants to play attractive football, and I thought... it's a valiant thing to talk about, but then you might look like Mark Hughes right now. Mm. So just take a step back a little bit and know your role. That's all I'm asking.
I gotta say, Lovren, he made three mistakes leading to two goals. The first one, I don't know what he did. He lobbed it up in the air.
It was amazing.
For McCarthy. The keeper was like, what? Oh, like, he had no clue that this was coming. No one expected it. That was his first mistake. The second goal, I enjoyed it a lot. He lost two headers in a row in the same play. The first had been taken from the long ball, and the second to McCarthy on the header. And it was just, Lovren, he's... Where's Sako? Where's the new guy? What's his
I'm
name?
I'm sorry. If Sako, right?
Wow.
Is the guy that you're asking for,
yeah.
Right? Then you know you have a problem.
Yeah, well, Lovren's horrendous.
The thing is, with Lovren, the Lovren that we saw at Southampton was brilliant. Like, I don't understand. True. This is why I'm scared that if anyone buys Fonte, it wasn't going to happen now.
Yeah. You know? Well, Shaw's the same. Shaw's still to hit those heights. There's a few players, which I think we talked about, we wrote an article about, they're still to hit those heights from. Lallana only recently started performing for
Until
Liverpool.
Until he got injured, obviously. Yep. But there were two goals from defenders from Liverpool in this game. Matip, yeah. And as well as Lallana.
Matip is a beast.
Matip has been great.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's really very tempting to say signing of the summer. On a free transfer, when you look at the other centre-backs that people have bought.
35 million Mustafi.
And he's been a great signing, but that's 35 million more than Joel Matip cost, and he has been so good.
He has. I agree. Last point on this game before we move on, something funny we just saw today is that Firmino apparently took off his shirt to celebrate his goal.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, absolute moo-moo because I had him on fantasy as captain, so that ruined my life.
Oh, sorry, bro.
And next is, after he chipped the keeper, the ball was rolling towards the goal, he took off his shirt in celebration technically before the ball crossed the line. So technically, if the ref really wants to be mean, he could have blown for a free kick.
I'm sorry,
kick.
The ref didn't do his job.
Yeah?
There should be shirt taking off technology, so that when the guy takes off the shirt, the ref knows
as it crosses the belly button.
They have to know this.
As the shirt crosses the belly button.
Another 20 years.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, the other thing Firmino did on a celebratory note was when Can scored his goal, Chan went to do the knee slide and then fell on the ground.
Yeah.
And then Firmino went to slide to join him, but didn't slide anywhere near far enough. So he had to get back up and then crawl over to him.
Yeah, I saw that. That was
fantastic.
Unbelievable.
United played Burnley. And this was...
Yeah, they played Burnley. Yeah.
They did?
Yeah.
It kind of happened.
Yeah. So, this was...
an unbelievable atrocity.
Yes.
And I'm using the word atrocity because Nizar Hassan, friend of ours, apparently I use shambles... on every single
one. It's not apparently.
Oh, this is a fact.
It's a thing.
Okay, so I'm retiring shambles and replacing shambles with atrocity until I figure out another word after atrocity.
Wow. Okay.
This was a disgrace. Yeah. A categorical, unbelievable nightmare. I can't believe there were 37 shots in this game.
19 corners.
That's the highest United have had since 2003.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
And none of them, not one, they hit the post, they hit the bar.
They hit Heaton.
Almost... Okay, Tom Heaton saved this, scissor kick from Zlatan Ibrahimovic and almost broke his arm. He actually came out and said, I almost broke my arm.
Yep. Yep.
This guy is not human.
He's been having a fantastic season.
Yeah.
He makes up for any goals conceded with the amount of saves he does a game. It's incredible how much he saved Burnley this year. And again, this game, Zlatan's last chance at the final dying minute, Pogba had a great game. I thought he looked really good. He asserted himself on the game. He kind of tried to take it by the scruff of the neck. That last, his crossing was great. Like, the technique on Pogba's crosses looked really good this game. And Zlatan should have finished like 3-4 of them easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could have been like 6-0 in this game. I mean, it was a real shame to see 0-0. And sometimes, even when you still look back at the results of the week, I think this is the only 0-0 game of the whole match day.
Mm.
And you see, okay, Manchester United 0-0. Burnley.
At home, when was the last time he didn't score Old Trafford? I think the stat is like a long time ago.
I don't know, but the last time Burnley held United to a scoreless game was 95 years
ago. Well, Mourinho's doing really good at breaking all these records that we were laughing at Moyes for breaking. But Moyes had 10 more, had not
no, 10, two more points.
More, two more points
and
after
Van Gaal
10 games.
Had 5 more points.
Yeah, so I mean, and Mourinho spent like 300 million more.
See, my problem with Manchester United is not that they're not playing well.
Yeah.
You know, against Chelsea, obviously they played like absolute trash. We get that. Liverpool, he parked the bus. But if you look at those matches that we're talking about, Zlatan Ibrahimovic is the actual reason why there are no points on the board.
7 games, no goals.
If you look at it, the Liverpool game, that header that he should have at least put on goal, he didn't come close. Against City, the game that they won in the EFL Cup, he missed an open goal.
Yep.
He's missed open goals in almost every single game.
Yeah,
Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and I know you talked about Giroud missing, but I'm talking about Giroud missing goals that you're kind of like, well, a better striker would have scored it. No, Zlatan is missing open nets.
And he's the better striker.
That is not supposed to happen.
Yeah. He's also 35, guys. We know this.
You can't miss an open net. I don't care.
You know what? Zlatan is missing. United aren't scoring. But there is a big difference between, you know, how they're playing now versus how they're playing under Van Gaal versus how they're playing under Moyes.
Hmm.
And we cannot argue with that. So it's just a matter of time before they score.
Well, I mean, everybody will tell you Mourinho's second season syndrome, right? He wins the league in the second season. So.
Well, that's what. Also, quick stat. The last two home games from United, 61 shots, one goal. Now that tells you something.
It's just the finishing. It's not there. It, I mean, Martial
but that's
isn't
not,
playing.
That's not like that's something that people say as an excuse. It's just the finishing. Finish the damn thing. It makes no sense when you have open goals. I'm not talking about, you know, shots from outside the box that hit the post. Open goals that Zlatan Ibrahimovic is missing. Paul Pogba is a statistic. If he actually finished all the chances that were easy chances, Pogba is leading the assist table right now.
No,
it's unbelievable. Believable, and there's no excuse for it.
Zlatan is in the worst form of his life statistically, and you know it's not obviously not helping.
He's playing like, remember when Fernando Torres was mentally destroyed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Latter days at Liverpool, Chelsea career. He had that vacant look in his eyes, and Zlatan has that now.
Remember what you're talking about? This is exactly how the picture you're talking about.
Yeah.
The United Chelsea game a couple years ago. He actually scored one, and then he rounded De Gea, and then he put it over the bar. That's exactly how I feel about Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Hey, I'm going to go with personal problems, Clive. No, seriously, when a player plays this badly, and there's no he's playing for a manager he loves, he's playing in a team that's creating chances. When someone plays this badly, you have to start thinking what else is going on.
Non-football.
Yeah. Like you think it's the wife, or maybe Mino Raiola moved in or something.
Yeah, anything.
It's got something going on with his...
Maybe his son's failing in school, you know.
Yeah, I don't think he cares. Tottenham 1, Leicester 1. That was a very good game. I was looking forward to this one, obviously.
Moussa scored again. 2 on the row now.
He's been in good form since we slagged him like 3 weeks ago. Bernie is somehow trying to claim like he has a hand in this great form.
I'm just waiting for you guys to say it. Because you know I'm going to say it. I just want someone else to take over the mantle.
Yeah. Bernie's distant cousin from Nigeria is doing great.
There you go.
It was a really good game, this one. Leicester, they look like they give a shit again. Like they've decided they're going to play.
Yeah,
which Fuchs, is kind of Fuchs nice. Alone looks like he cares again.
Yeah,
after like a first horrendous 4 games of the season.
But for me, it was Morgan and Huth that really stood out. I mean, they were. It doesn't get noticed very often, but Leicester are a dirty, dirty team.
They
are dark arts, man. Like they were pushing and pulling and kicking and like
that was all they did last season.
But no one ever spoke about
because it was the fairy tale at that point, and the rest didn't
give
it.
You looked the other way. You didn't care. You know what?
They also gave away a penalty in this game, Robert Huth.
Yeah,
it was harsh to give away that penalty.
That was a terrible decision.
That was a terrible decision. The thing is that there were like 2 or 3 other incidents that could have easily been given.
Sorry. I completely forgot to mention this, and it's in the line of terrible decisions. Just as almost as bad as Ander Herrera getting sent off for slipping. It's been a weekend of terrible refereeing.
Yes, it has.
But anyway, back to this.
Vardy's back in the side now. We were talking last week about how he quote unquote got dropped or didn't for Slimani. He's definitely back. He was back this week. He looked good. He looked fresh. But obviously, Leicester don't look the same as they did last season. They don't have that something about them. There's a lot of maybe the new players, maybe Kante not being there.
It's Kante.
Yeah.
That's it.
But why do we care? This is the thing I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm done.
We all knew what was going to happen. Yeah. They knew what was going to happen. What we should be focusing on Champions in terms of Leicester is that they're actually top of the Champions League group and they're doing so well. There's nothing else that matters now.
No, that is fantastic. But I think there is something to question, really, because they've added in the summer is attacking intent, right? But what they're missing right now, they've just discovered their defensive form. They've rediscovered that. Mm-hmm. But there's no creativity, which last season was coming from Mahrez.
But also,
and this season it just doesn't exist. The goal that they scored came from a mistake from Wanyama and Kyle Walker, two of Spurs' best players this season, so that's a bit out of character. But Leicester didn't actually create anything.
Because Mahrez has been crap.
Well, that's one, but also like with the absence of Kante, I think it made Drinkwater's job so much easier to kind of distribute the ball, which
also
is what he does.
Also the center backs.
And now, where would they be without Drinkwater, week in, week out? He can't take it on all on himself.
No, I agree. And also, Alex is right about the whole, last season they really, like, the whole Flair thing, fine, but they really did depend on their defensive strength. They won a lot of games 1-0, and that's by keeping clean sheets for, you know,
which
70 minutes, 75 minutes. Exactly. So now it's harder because Leicester aren't a team that are going to win 3 or 4, and like they need to keep that clean sheet, and you know it's not happening.
But remember one thing on the creativity side and on the Mahrez thing.
Yeah.
Unlike Vardy, Mahrez's head was turned.
Oh yeah.
The way that saga kind of went on and on and on, and Ranieri had to keep talking about it. You know that Mahrez was pretty much 1 foot out the door.
Oh yeah.
But Vardy was the one that said, "Nah, I'm staying." So I'm not sure if Mahrez is fully invested in what they're doing right now.
It did sound like Mahrez kind of said, "I'll give you a year."
Yeah, it has that feel about it.
But speaking of creativity and not having it, Spurs are also really lacking creativity at the moment. They're defensively, like Leicester, there are some parallels here. Like Leicester, defensively, they're very solid. Well, but Christian Eriksen is not doing anything at the moment. And
centre-back guy's injured. Alderweireld.
They've been fine. Like, again, the goal they conceded the other day was a mistake, but...
Still the only undefeated team in the league. Yeah. But as you said, you know, 5 wins, 5 draws in 10 games. And it's that draws column.
You said that last week. Yeah. It's all about
how many losses draws. Did they have? I know towards the end they kind of imploded.
You can ask us a question like, that we don't know the answer to here.
I actually thought maybe we knew this. But I know to the end they imploded, but it felt like they didn't lose for a very long
last
period
season?
Of time last
yeah,
season.
Yeah, they didn't. Right. Yeah.
It's not from the very start. Because they started
very start, they were
horribly. Kane couldn't get a goal. Moving to the other London team, Arsenal beat Sunderland 4-1. This was at Sunderland, right? Was it at Stadium of Light?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was. So this was another one of those where Arsenal was cruising, scored the first goal, everything looked fantastic and grand, and then Arsenal do that thing where they don't kill a game off, similar to Liverpool sometimes. You look great going forward, don't kill a game off, Sunderland come back with a penalty. Speaking of refs, right after a Stonewall penalty for Alexis wasn't given, another penalty was given for Sunderland on the other side. Cech continuing his very, very sloppy form. He's been quite bad.
I'm sorry, only Mohamed can find a way to really like just poo-poo all over a 4-1 victory against the worst team in the
league. I'm getting there.
I don't understand it.
We should move on to the other pundits' analysis of this game.
Getting to Giroud being fantastic.
I was also very invested in this game.
Yeah,
and
for
I have to
FPL
say,
reasons?
Well, yes. As much as it was, you know, Arsenal's, you know, as you said, this is what they do week in and week out. Yeah. It was also a bit of Moyes's, yeah, you know what, you know, we're setting up for a long winter. Yeah. But then they get the penalty and equalize and, you know, Moyes is...
Looking good.
It looks good. And then he concedes 3 more goals.
Nothing gives me more joy, and I don't even hate David Moyes, I just feel sorry for him, but nothing gives me more joy than when he thinks... He's got a chance.
Yes.
And it's clear that he doesn't.
And it gets smashed.
That's 6 minutes.
But this is the story of Sunderland, is that they are a terrible team.
Yep.
But they are they're just like a couple levels away from being not too terrible.
Yeah.
Because every game is like 1-0 down. Oh my God, we're back. Or 0-0, we're going to hold off for a draw. Like this, the game before this, I think it was 95th minute against Palace.
Yes.
Palace scored. It's unbelievable.
Well, to me, I think this game, because it was against Arsenal, so I definitely watched the whole game, I got to the conclusion at the end that I'm done with Sunderland.
Mm-hmm.
I am so ready for them to go down. Because I was with them the few years ago. We're like, I love the whole, like, change the manager, stay in, do this. I was a little bit up for that story.
Mm.
I'm pretty much done.
Have you told them? Because this is all they were waiting for.
Yeah, like, I'm going to let Moyes know that... You know, I'm ready for them to go down now. Newcastle coming up, though, because I missed the Tyneside there.
I like... all I can say is, we were told, or rather, I was told, after I wrote the article, to go back to Canada, play ice hockey. That's all you guys know. And they've gotten progressively
worse.
What
was the word in that title?
Well,
Newcastle, I can't say it. Shambles.
I can't say the word.
So, Giroud comes on at 1-1, and obviously at the world-class striker that he is, he scores with his first two touches.
Sorry, did you hear that?
Did you hear that? Of the season.
We have it on file.
Okay, because just making sure I heard Mohamed say.
That's what
he is, a great player.
That is what they do. Mm. Comes on, 2 goals, 2 touches, brilliant finish, brilliant header. It's what we were missing, Clive.
Completely changed the game, didn't he?
100%. I mean, it was 3-1 at that point. Sanchez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to add on to that, he is the reason why Moyes became our favorite for the week. Right, Alex?
Sorry, explain that.
How we hate how Moyes had hope and then Giroud killed
him. From an Arsenal fan's perspective, something to point out is Kieran Gibbs, who's come in for Nacho Monreal. And Monreal, for the last 2 seasons, has made that position absolutely his own.
Yep.
But Gibbs, Monreal has looked a bit dodgy this season. Now he's injured. Gibbs has come in, and Gibbs actually looks really good.
He's going to keep his spot. Yeah.
It won't last long, Clive.
Why? No, he will.
Because it's Kieran Gibbs.
It's not Clive.
Have you not noticed that this happens every season? There's a microcosm of Kieran Gibbs fever, and then it goes away.
He does have like a good run of form, and then it kind of goes back to old Gibbs. But it seems he's a bit, I don't know, he's a bit more mature this season. Like he's
captaining the side in the AFL Cup.
Oh, forever. He's 27 now. He's been there at least for 10 years.
So him and Walcott are just like...
Yeah, they're buddies.
So, it's so hilarious how his finest moment ever was when he slipped in front of Park Ji-sung. And you know it's true.
Mohamed, you were talking about Alexis Sanchez's stats the other day.
Did you guys just high-five that?
Yes,
we did. In comparison to Thierry.
Oh, yeah. So Sanchez has 50 goals in 106 games. Mm-hmm. Henry got 50 in 104. Mm-hmm. You got to keep in mind a few things. Sanchez, no penalties. He doesn't take them. Mm-hmm. Sanchez also plays out wide for most of those 50 games. So mm-hmm. it's a very impressive stat from someone who, you know, was looking quite down at Barca. His European stats for Arsenal are also really good in terms of Champions League goals. So, mm-hmm. you know, he's doing really well.
How does this make you feel?
Well, what do you mean?
How does it make you feel?
Great. Okay. He's world class.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Like Giroud.
Like Drew, yeah. We've got Arsenal have the most World Cup players in the starting 11 out of anybody in this team, in this league.
Wow!
What can you contest that?
I'm just saying.
How
many assists does Ozil have this season?
He has 6 goals.
I'm just saying. I think City has 3 more, but
in the league,
City are a close shout. But
I think it's debatable.
I think it's debatable.
I think City have a lot more.
But a lot more.
Yeah.
What, Stones now and Kolarov are like the minute this comes up, Stones is world class.
Stones, no mate. Just, you don't have anything on a girl's level.
Speaking of City, and Aguero, he is back from his quite bad form. He was dropped in goal again against Barca, I guess just because of the system that Pep wanted to play. But he's back with 2 goals. The second one, beautiful Aguero goal.
Oh, yeah. Even the finish on the first one was tidy. But yeah, that second one, it was a lot like Costa's, actually. Just cutting in from the left and smashing it top right into the corner. Yep. It's beautiful.
Other player that played.
The unfortunate thing about Sergio Aguero is that he has the best goals to minutes ratio in the Premier League. But it almost feels as if he gets 10 goals against trash teams.
Yes.
And then, like, that's why it looks so good.
But he does. He does it in spurts. Mm-hmm. And he does it against not the best opposition. I mean, yeah, we talked about this, and Alex brought up the goal against QPR.
They are terrible opposition.
But he doesn't know for Argentina at all. Mm-hmm. Like, at all. Like, not even close. And he doesn't score in those... I mean, Tottenham stuff, that doesn't count. Like, he doesn't score in those big encounters where City really need him. In Europe, he hasn't done it for 2-3 seasons now. Like, I don't know. Something's missing with Aguero.
There's something there, potentially, but let me play devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. For Argentina, no one does it.
Not even
Messi. Higuain loses his mind. Though. Aguero loses his mind.
Yeah. Messi plays penalties well, over the bar.
Yeah. Argentina, there's something systemically wrong. And you could almost say the same about City in Europe. I mean, we'll see how it changes this time. But City, as a team in Europe, have been terrible. Yeah,
but Aguero, the world-class player that he is, should be that guy that basically makes them from terrible to, you look good.
Like, here's a question for you guys, and I'm pretty sure I know what you're all going to say. There was a poll where they said, is Aguero the greatest striker that Man City have ever had?
No.
Man City.
Sean Gota.
Danny Dicchio.
Darius Vassell.
He was.
Good shout.
Did you kill that C?
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
No.
Well, we can ask him since we're friends.
Yeah, yeah, we're playing. Yeah, but Darius Vassell, Mario Balotelli, not Heskey.
Uwe Rosler.
Yes.
Robbie Fowler.
God Clichy.
Dick. What was his name?
Dick.
Dick
something.
Dickov. Paul Dickov.
Yeah. I thought you were just saying Dick. Sorry.
Paul Dickov, that's the guy. They also had Robbie Fowler briefly.
Yeah, true. Bernie just said that.
Mm-hmm. Rubinho. Yes.
Well done.
And Andy Cole.
Anyways.
Andy Cole.
Yeah.
That's shambolic. Yeah. He also had Peter Schmeichel, actually.
Yeah.
He's not a striker.
He was probably up there for the striker.
But yeah, City, Gundogan had 2 goals there. He's starting to slowly find form as well for City. He didn't start a few games at the beginning of the season, injuries and whatnot, getting fit. Now he's starting to kind of make that position as he's looked good. They played Fernandinho Gundogan, no De Bruyne. So for a very kind of uncreative midfield, they've done well to score 4 goals.
De Bruyne came on and got an assist.
Yeah. Gundogan, actually, a great stat, which obviously City fans love, is that he cost the same amount as United paid for Pogba's agent, 20 million.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yes, because you know how City are money hungry, you know what they are.
Yeah, that's a shambles. But Gundogan's goals reminded me of Frank Lampard. I did not say shambles.
Frank Lampard.
Look, the ghosting into the box and then finishing it off. It was very much...
That's Ramsey, according to Arsene Wenger, apparently. Right. Ramsey has a lot of similarities to Lampard.
Either way. Speaking of managerial quotes, and going back to Aguero for a second, I thought what Pep said about him was extremely interesting. So, listen to this. We need Sergio. We know how important he is for us when he can convince us how good he is and how important he is for the club. I'm going to help him be much, much better. That is my target.
Oh, speaking of that, I know you're going to slightly joke about that, but...
No, not even. Find it interesting what you're saying there.
Someone was analysing this, and Aguero, last season's average distance was 7.4 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie, that is shambolic by any standard.
Mm-hmm.
This season, so far, his average is 10 point something.
Mm-hmm.
To go up 3 kilometers means either you're walking / crawling. I don't know if they count when he's on the bench, but this season has been a phenomenal change in terms of distance run, and that's one of the Pep effects on him, is that I want you more involved. I want you more in the game. You got to be that guy for us.
You know what that is? It's not just about being involved. From what Alex just quoted, he's actually saying you've not been good enough overall, and I want to make you better, just to the point that you were talking about being that world-class player.
Do we have Yaya's running stats from last season?
We have them from this season. There's zero.
Zero.
Zero. All right, let's go through these really quickly because we did harp on a few on these games. Everton beat West Ham 2-0. Lukaku has now 100 goals in league play.
You didn't like him.
At 23. Yeah, but he's great now. Great is a different story. But
you know how we talked about how Bolasie stole his goal last week? Well, he assisted Lukaku in this game.
Correct.
It's the least he can do.
And then he did a really funny trick at 1-0 and fell over, and Lennon was on the bench like, he couldn't breathe. He was laughing his ass off.
Azza.
West Ham continue their horrible form. Bilic is in trouble. You can't rule anything out. He's in trouble. They're like relegation
Area. Are they there?
They are.
No, they'll be safe. Boys is still around.
True. Middlesbrough beat Bournemouth 2-0.
Didn't even know this game happened because Middlesbrough don't know their game.
Yeah.
This is the game that made me realize what a bad result that United versus Burnley result was. Because even Middlesbrough are winning 2-0.
Well, yes.
Like Bournemouth are way better than Burnley.
True.
Yeah.
So like it's even worse.
But I mean it's Middlesbrough versus Bournemouth.
Yep.
The only thing about this game is that their names are both long.
Gaston Ramirez had a great game. A good goal. He ran the whole length of the field and finished it really well.
But no one tackled him.
Yeah,
no one even tried.
Well, it was like Giggs versus Arsenal. Yeah, he lives on that goal. Like,
yeah, except there was only one person in his way.
Yeah, true.
They were just all jogging.
Anyone following the Wilshire stuff, he played really well this game. He was the Bournemouth's best
player. So enthusiastic.
Right? Yeah, second game since like 2000 and ever, he's played 290 minutes in a row. Watford beat Hull 1-0. I mean, the only thing we want to talk about is that there's news today, breaking news that the FA, blah, 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 are investigating Watford's takeover recently because apparently there's some fake financial documents that have
been provided. Oh, they're the ones that did the fake HSBC check?
I didn't hear about that, but it sounds like it.
It was a fake, like, institution. Like, it was supposed to be HSBC,
but it
was, like, a personal check.
Did C stand for China?
HSBC is a Chinese bank.
Is it?
It's Hong Kong, really.
Whoa. Any Hong Kong people listening?
Was this a WikiLeaks thing?
Could be. Yeah, might as well make the back of these nets and like buy one.
Guys!
Wow! Okay, Stoke played Swansea today. They beat them 3-1. Joe Allen assisted twice to Bernie's delight.
Yes! Joe Allen! My fantasy boy!
And a little background on this is that we were absolutely slagging on Bernie for the last 2 weeks when he picked Joe Allen in his fantasy lineup.
Because when I picked him, he was awesome!
So, well done.
Unlike how I dropped Nathan Redmond and he went on a scoring streak. Not pick Nolito.
You should drop Zlatan.
I did. I put Rooney in.
That
Rooney would come back against Burnley.
That is a great segue to Mumu because that is definitely Mumu.
Happy Mumu. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day Mumu go wake up.
So we're back with Mumu of the Week, my favorite segment of the Koshcast. And a Mumu, for those who don't know, is an idiot, a fool, someone who does things just incredibly stupidly, and we're focusing on off-the-pitch events.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start this week with the Nigerian Police Force. It's a great place for me to start. Now, again, you notice our Mumus tend to revolve around people who run social media accounts?
Yes.
So this person will not get fired, but he should be fired. And the reason is, the Nigerian Police Force official account tweeted out that the Diego Costa goal over the last weekend is their Naira Bet goal of the week. So not only are they tweeting about rubbish, but they are tweeting about making bets on football.
What it is the official Nigerian police is sponsored by NairaBet.com.
This is problematic.
They should put it on their jerseys.
They should just say corruption.com at that point.
Is this the equivalent of like the RCMP?
Yes. Yes. It's
the FBI?
No. More like...
Local police.
Yes, it is. It exactly is. But my problem is, you should be out there fighting all the crime that we have, but no, you're watching football and betting on it. Okay, guys.
That's great. Second Mumu. I'm not sure if this can match, but this is Jamie Redknapp this time, making a statement on Victor Moses. So Redknapp says, it's nice to see a young English talent getting a chance. Someone should have probably told him that Moses has 24 caps for Nigeria and is almost 26 years old.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy Redknapp just hasn't seen a lot of Moses and thought, young guy, he's going to call it that.
Yeah. I would be surprised, but I'm not. He's an idiot.
I mean, check his birth certificate. He's been playing for Wigan for at least 10 years.
He's Nigerian, so that's tricky.
Yeah.
That's half the pull.
Even I have to tell you that.
All right, mine doesn't have a lot of basis to it, but it's just a fantastic tweet. Edgeware Town FC, their official Twitter account, tweeted recently, "The referee has lost the plot and abandoned the game because of constant moaning from a fan." A fan. So, basically, some guy, you can think of a nice, cozy stadium, they're watching the game, and some fan is just giving him abuse. He's like, that's it, I can't take it. And, you know, I love how they say, has lost the plot. That's a great way of putting it.
I mean, I'll tell you this. Edgeware was very close to my high school and not far from where I grew up, and it's shit. So I'm not surprised that the person was in a bad mood.
Nice. Yeah, that's it. That's it for me.
Wow. I'm going to go back to one of our favourite topics for the last Moomoo, and that is Davy Moyes. We spoke about him earlier, but he has said two things this week that absolutely kill me.
So Accent alert.
The first one, I wasn't even going to... Now I will.
Oh, okay.
You reap what you sow, man. My job is to win, and I would say my biggest strength is to find a way of winning. If you asked me about my strengths, I'd say, put David Moyes in charge of a team, and he will win.
That is categorically not true.
No,
2 points in 10 matches.
You know what, when you have a resume and you put like accomplishments, his greatest accomplishment is beat Barcelona. That's what he's using right now.
Two seasons ago.
They asked him after the Sunderland game against Arsenal, they said, do you think you're playing well even though the results are bad? He goes, no. That's it. He literally said no. And then he just stared at the guy. And the guy went, I guess next question.
To add on to Moyes' resume comment, he can also say, led Bayern for 22 seconds.
True.
But, I mean, okay. People forget that.
But here's the second thing, guys. Sunderland manager David Moyes has admitted his team's poor start to the season has often caused him to spend many Saturday nights in a darkened room.
That's just because Sunderland doesn't have electricity sometimes.
It's the stadium of light, bro. And he found the only dark place there.
I think he's talking about his bedroom. And he just sleeps with his eyes open.
No. He's clearly got an office. His wife's not allowed in. He gets in from the game. He says, all right, Sharon, I'm going to be in my room. And I don't know if she's
rock,
Sharon.
Rocks back and forth in his chair.
Yeah, like she might come and like leave a cup of tea outside the door or
doesn't
something.
Doesn't he say something about his mental state, though?
I mean, his mental state is obvious. The other one thing that Ruche mentioned, something going on for David Moyes, is he actually today, looking at the quiz, trying to prep, I found this stat, which is he played with David Beckham at Preston North End.
Yeah.
At the same time. I have no clue.
And gained none of his skills.
Or professionalism.
Management has taken its toll on that man's face.
Yeah. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
Now to something a bit more local. Toronto FC. Lads, we're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We won the knockout round.
Show some enthusiasm.
Oh, no, I'm getting to it. We watched the whole game.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
This doesn't mean you're happy about it.
I'm ecstatic.
Let's set the scene, right? So Toronto FC, first playoff round, Philadelphia Union, easy 3-1 win.
First playoff game at BMO Field ever.
Lovely little job.
Shocking.
Lovely little job. That's a perfect description.
Yeah. And then setting up a two-legged affair with New York City FC.
The best team in the East.
Patrick Vieira's New York City FC.
NYCFC.
They come to Toronto. It's a dark night. Not stormy.
Cold,
dark.
Though. Very cold.
Yep. David Moyes conditions.
The conditions of his birth.
Wow.
And it's a scrappy game. It's a physical affair. And Toronto FC run out 2-0 winners.
Yep. 0-0 up until like the
84th minute. Yep. The first goal
After
scored.
After surviving brutality. Because that's what New York City FC came to do. Just to actually just kick the hell out of them. Yep. Except it didn't work because Jozy Altidore came to play.
Yeah, I mean, we saw this game at the pub and it was the first kind of... I kept telling us, we would take 0-0. 0-0 at home, score an away goal there, fine, take it. But as the game went on, they started to grow in confidence. 60th minute forward from that point, they started to look quite good. They were playing better, the ball was going into the box, and then Vanny made some really good subs. Ricketts came on and absolutely had two brilliant effects on the game. Obviously, the first one that went outdoor, he fluffed completely, but he was there. He made it happen.
Chaos.
It was, you know, chaos. Yeah. No-go, you know.
Yeah.
Gave it to outdoor. He finished with a plump, which is, you know, similar to his body shape.
A plump.
I love saying it like that. And then the second one, which is, to be fair, we thought they should have gone for because they were so much on top of New York. But obviously at that point, you're like, all right, take the 1-0, man.
Yeah.
Take it home. And they scored a very deserved second, and it was a great goal.
That was absolute scenes in the stadium, and with the players celebrating afterwards as well. Great for the first leg, 2-0 going back to New York. But let's not forget, TFC were amongst the top teams in the Eastern leagues. So it was like both the New York teams and TFC for the top three spots.
Toronto FC have had a very good season.
Yeah.
And it's not often you never say they have a very good season. And they've taken it a step further than they did last season. So it really fills your confidence, especially because the difference maker has literally been Josie Altidore, who was ineffective. I think he's been here. Is it the third season or second season?
Second, I believe.
Last season was in and out, whatever. But now the combination with him and Jovinko, I remember Steve Nichol, ESPN FC, called it Beauty and the Beast. And that's exactly what it is.
Last season was in and out burgers.
Especially because, you know, when Jovinko was injured, everyone thought that TFC season would be derailed because they were number one at the time.
Yeah.
And then Altidore stepped up and he was scoring some incredible goals, turning defenders inside out for a man that big.
It's all about in and out for Altidore.
In and out.
It's not a big man, little man combination. It's the littlest man, biggest man
combination. Alex had a really good point when we watched the game about why this season feels a bit different than the last, even though they made the playoffs last season. Is because last season it felt like we made the playoffs, that was the aim, and they kind of let go and they relaxed. And when they lost to Montreal, this season, that's not good enough. The aim is I want to be in the conference final. I want to be in MLS Cup final. I want to be there. And I think setting the standards makes a difference to the mentality of the team. You saw Bob Bradley, man of the match, by the way. Bob Bradley.
Michael.
That's his dad.
Yeah, I know. Michael Bradley. I mean, surely you guys knew that was just a
like father, like son.
Yeah.
Michael Bradley was man of the match. He was so enthusiastic, so energetic about the goal, celebrating with the fans. And all game long, the fans were incredible. Even Vieira said he was so surprised about the atmosphere at BMO Field, and it was great to see.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And so whoever wins this game will play the winner. Well, whoever wins the game on aggregate, there's one more leg, but we'll play the winner of Montreal Impact against New York Red Bulls. Now, Red Bulls are massive favorites for that.
Mm-hmm.
But they lost the first game away 1-0,
mm-hmm.
which isn't too surprising because Red Bulls only won 3 away games all season.
Mm-hmm.
All season. So they've been fantastic
and
at home.
And still top, yeah.
They've been so good at home, but they can't win away. So now we'll see whether they can overturn that. They should.
And we're talking about a Montreal team. Like, we're talking about TFC's designated players. We're talking about a Montreal team that was in a little bit of a dramatic situation with Didier Drogba. I don't think he started this game. He hasn't started the last two. And they're doing it without him. That shows a resilience about them.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, for our own reasons, I really hope they pull this off and TFC pull it off because that final in the East is going to be
amazing. You imagine the stat just about having two Canadian teams in the Eastern Conference final of MLS? Like, I don't think that's ever happened or ever will happen again. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, no, that would do a lot for the sport in Canada in particular.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the point about Montreal is, I mean, going 1-0 now away, they score one, Red Bulls need two, one more than them. The other point is, we forgot to mention, is TFC. I mean, what are the chances now? Because they're going to score at least one. And at that point, New York City FC needs four. Like, surely you're 80-85% through.
Yeah, I mean, TFC and New York City FC have played some really good games. I think there was a 4-4 draw.
Yeah, that was
with the
Giovinco
9-minute hat trick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did score in New York. But, yeah, as you said, like, if they score one,
but
you need four.
I guess the question for you guys is, how do you approach this game? Because there's some people that will say,
you get a goal.
You defend it, right? But there's some people who are going to say, attack them, but then leave yourself open. And if New York City FC score first, they're going to get quite nervous. So it will be very interesting to see how they approach it.
I think you score one. Because even if TFC defend, New York need two.
Mm-hmm.
So New York will come at you. Like, it's not an option for New York. They have to come at you. Two is not a small amount of
goals. So go at them right back.
So, they're going to come at you. They're going to leave space behind you. You exploit that. You score one. They're literally done.
So is it defend and counterattack? Yeah. Or is it just play your own attacking game?
Yeah, it's obviously not as attacking as it would have been if it was a regular game.
Yeah.
But you need to go in with that, get that goal in mind. Can you can you imagine what that would do just to the whole stadium?
One goal is over.
Done.
That's it.
This game is going to have more than three goals in it, the second leg.
Wow.
Guarantee you.
Bold prediction. Actually, Bernie sent us an interesting article today.
It was rubbish.
Well, but it was interesting. It was on the it was a Toronto Sun article. I forget the Simmons or something.
Sure, some Steve guy. I don't know.
we'll go with Steve Simmons. And he's a sports journalist, but he knows nothing about football.
Well, like, you don't even know his name.
He hasn't covered football ever.
Oh, sorry. The way this article was, he said a 2-0 advantage going to second leg in soccer is like. In CFL being 40-0 up.
Yeah.
Wait, he's the only one they could find to write this article?
He said that a 2-0 lead is basically insurmountable.
Wow.
Which is not true.
It's
and this
not true.
Is
he doesn't know what he's talking about, TFC.
yeah,
that's a good point.
Well, he's talking about football. Like, in football, we know that 2-0 lead to be a very dangerous one.
Yes.
But this is why, Toronto Sun, you don't just get anyone to write a bloody football column.
Yeah, what happens to Kurt Larson or whatever his name was?
What happened to anyone that doesn't need to say, is in soccer, is like?
Oh, the other thing that this article said was, if anyone can, the indefinable extra time, he didn't call it injury time, so they scored an extra time, and he put in brackets the indefinable, and he said, if anyone can explain it to me, please do. I thought... How is this being printed?
Yeah, who allowed this?
He's clearly the CFL.
We are here. We are alive. If you want article, you know where to come.
Yeah.
It's true.
I think that pretty much covers the roundup there.
Yeah, next leg is next Sunday, so we should be able to talk about it on next pod. We're all hoping for a Toronto FC in the final of the East.
Be so sweet.
That'd be great, yeah.
The only thing left to do is request that Toronto FC put their mental ticket prices down.
Yeah.
How much are they?
It's like 75 to 80 something for the cheapest
minimum,
seat in the house.
Yeah. I mean, it is the first time in the playoffs.
No, but...
Typical Toronto style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, Toronto is an expensive city.
Anyway, you know what's not expensive?
The quiz!
The quiz night on Wednesday. So come down to that and we'll see you there.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.